Podcasting from baseball heaven, St. Louis, Missouri, home to float trips, gooey butter cake, and the Gateway Arch. This is the Navigate the Rapids podcast, where you find out how to effectively run and market your business. And now, here's your host, Will Hanke.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Navigate the Rapids broadcast. Today is January 30th, 2015. My name is Will Hanke. Today we're going to be talking about something that I think a lot of people maybe overlook, and that's email marketing. My guest today is Tom Ruich, founder and president of MarketVault, one of the Midwest's leading interactive technology and marketing firms. He serves as the company's lead consultant for clients who seek website, email, social media, and other marketing guidance. Tom is an experienced web developer, copywriter, and direct response marketer. He's especially adept at helping businesses coordinate their online and offline marketing efforts. He's experienced designing and executing marketing plans for small business startups and publicly traded companies. Tom, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Will. A great pleasure.
Very excited to have you on today. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of people still, even today, don't realize the power behind simple email marketing.
Yeah, I agree. We hear that old cliche that email marketing is dead, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah. So before we jump in and start asking a lot of questions, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got started with MarketVault?
Sure. It was about 14 years ago. It was way back in 2001, before a lot of people had even heard of email marketing. And I had come out of a media background. I'd been a newspaper reporter for a long time, worked in the online side of the newspaper industry as well as the print side. And, you know, it wasn't as if I invented email marketing. I'm not going to complain or claim to have invented the internet the way some political guy did a few years ago. But I got on to the idea of email and its marketing potential, because what I really recognized was the best way to connect buyers and sellers was to do so through interactive technologies, and email was certainly an established and emerging one at that point. The old media models, the old media advertising models, were plop an advertisement in some page of a newspaper or a billboard or some space in a television ad, hope people see that, and then hope people act and buy and so forth. But the internet, email, certainly back in that day, was all about having conversations and connecting buyers and sellers in a much more interactive way. And I saw that back in 2000 or so when I conceived of MarketVault, and we built it, and over time the power and the potential of email has emerged and has continued to really be an important force in how buyers and sellers connect.
Yeah. So, were you still working when you started the MarketVault thing? I mean, were you still working as a reporter? Or
I had left the newspaper and was involved in an internet startup called Sports Huddle. We had built software for the newspaper industry to collect and publish high school and amateur sports statistics. And we built that company up and raised some money, built it from me and my other co-founder to about 85 people, and sold it in 2000. And It was in that time from 2000 to 2001 that I was working on the next thing and developed the idea for MarketVault and built it.
Oh, very. That's a pretty cool story. And I think I've heard of the Sports Huddle thing. It's been quite a while, but very cool. So you mentioned earlier about email being dead. That's not the case, you say.
Not the case at all. I mean, you know, it's been sort of this myth that, or this line that emerges over the years. And when RSS feeds came out on websites, oh, that's going to kill email. And certainly when social media came along, oh, that's going to kill email. And the reality is, email is still an enormously important part of all of our lives. 95% of the people on the internet have email accounts, and 90% of the people who have internet or excuse me, who have email accounts, check their email compulsively, multiple times a day, hourly sometimes. And there's a stat that I saw in a study that the same study that said 95% check compulsively. 8% of the people in that survey said they will check their email minutes or moments after they have sex. It's kind of a crazy stat. I hope for your loved one's sake that you are not among that 8%. But and I share it not to gross people out and to make this too R-rated, but I share that stat to emphasize the idea that people are checking their email, and you have an opportunity to be in front of them. And if you're not emphasizing email as part of the marketing mix, you're missing the opportunity to have those conversations and be in front of audiences. And the numbers are not shrinking. The return on investment, the number of people using email, the amount of revenue generated by email, that's not going down. It's if anything, going up.
Yeah. I would say of all the ways of communicating, that by far email is the one I use the most and compulsively check the most often. I don't log into Twitter and see what somebody said in the last 10 minutes.
Right.
And I am running a business. However, most people, all the people that want to communicate with me either pick up the phone and call me or they send me an email.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to shoot me a message on Twitter or Google Plus or something.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It just remains an essential element of our daily lives, both in our lives as consumers and in our lives as business people. So the tool works in different ways for different segments, B2B versus B2C, but it's equally effective because we're active in email as consumers, we're active in email as business people, and so the medium is important in both segments of business.
Yeah. So your business, what is an ESP, and why should businesses use one for email marketing?
Yeah, so ESP is an acronym that stands for email service provider. And fundamentally, there are many, many businesses, MarketVault, my company is among them, that are in that category. And the service is software, typically web-hosted software. You have an account, you can log into the account, you can use the account for the following things: to store and segment your lists. It has a built-in database for you to manage your lists and segment them into categories. Creating content where you don't have to be a HTML, a web expert. You can create content that's compelling and branded and easy with basic word processing skills to do so. Sending the email with confidence. If you try to send bulk email to multiple people and do it from your own computer, chances are you're not going to get many of them through, and chances are that over time your internet service provider will say, stop doing it or we're going to cancel your account. And so sending with confidence that the emails will get through to the inbox is very, very important. And finally, the ability to track and then automate. So email service provider have systems that track who opened your emails, who clicked which links, who forwarded them, and then depending on the system, there is automation that can follow, automatically segmenting your list, automatically sending follow-ups, and our system has a lot of those capabilities. And so why is it so important to you as use an ESP? It just makes it easier to do all of those things and removes the headache and hassle of processing bounces, of making sure your emails are getting through. You're paying a service to make sure it gets done.
Yeah, and it's definitely worth paying someone, instead of trying to do that on your own, because even if you're smart enough to keep a database and all that kind of stuff, you're just not going to keep up with it, especially if you're trying to grow your list. It's just going to become more and more of a problem.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I want to make sure that people understand when you and I are using the term pay someone, you're paying for the software that helps you do it yourself. The key thing is you're still creating the emails, you're still pressing send, it's still your name on top of the email, it's you doing the work. The software just makes the work so much easier and makes the results so much better. You're paying for that system that does the work for you. Now, in some cases, companies like ours provide the services too. So if you don't want to do the work yourself, you can hire our consultants or our experts to help you. Some companies do that. Some ESPs do it. Some ESPs don't. So that's there are different subcategories within the space in terms of service. But ESP right. broadly refers to the software.
Well, thanks for clarifying that up. I appreciate that. So let's talk about somebody who wants to create their own email campaign. What are some of the successful keys that they need to put in place?
Yeah, the first is planning. If you don't go into it with a plan, you are bound to fail. So many businesses will get into email marketing, and this principle applies also to social media or any other marketing tactic. They'll say, we have to do this for whatever reason.
To be out on Twitter. We have to be there because we heard.
Yeah. Why are you doing it? Well, my competitor is doing it, or my boss told me to do it. That's a good one. you know, understand why you're doing it. What are you trying to achieve? What are the business goals? How are you going? What are you going to say, and why? And we have a planning process that we can help our clients go through. Don't have a whole lot of time to focus on that today on the call, but the key thing is, typical scenario is a business says, "Oh, around the first of the month, every month, I'm going to send an email newsletter," or every Monday, weekly, or every second Monday, just some periodic approach. And then more often than not, businesses will get to about the 30th or 29th of the month, two or three days in advance of the deadline, and the person responsible is thinking, what the heck am I going to write this month? And right. it's a hassle. It doesn't work, and you're blowing an investment. So without planning, you're going to fail. So that's thing number one.
Okay.
Thing number two is, with email marketing, you really want to focus on getting permission from the people you're going to contact. You don't want to scrape together a list from a business directory or some chamber guide or visiting people's websites and just pulling emails off. You don't want to buy lists and just begin to pound people over and over again with spam. What you want to do is give people reasons to raise their hand and join your mailing list by providing valuable tips on your website and drawing people to your website and giving people a reason to sign up by asking them explicitly when you meet them at networking events or if you speak, handing out a sign-up sheet. There are all sorts of list-building tactics, but the key thing is that you're having a conversation with people who have said, "Hey, Will, I want to hear from you," or, "Hey, Tom, I want to hear from you." And that's a good segue into the third point. The reason they want to hear from you is you're providing value. If all you do is pitch, they'll tune out, because people who are in an audience you're trying to connect with, only the smallest percentage of those people are ready buyers, are really on the verge of a buying decision. And if you're talking to the 99% who are not on the verge of a buying decision, and all you're doing is saying, "Here's the latest deal, buy now," they're tuned out. But if you're providing useful information, tips, interesting information, they'll continue to read, they'll forward, they'll share, so forth. So three points very quickly summarized. Plan, build the list with permission, and provide value in your emails, and you'll be successful.
Yeah, to the point of providing value, I just helped one of my clients get set up to start sending out normal newsletters. You know, they were very sporadically, accidentally sending them out every once in a while. usually when somebody at a chamber meeting said, you know, something along the lines of newsletter, and that, oh, we got to get our newsletter out.
Right.
So we started, we set it up, and I got it all ready for him to send one out. And, you know, of course, in this business owner's minds, in his mind, it's you know, let's talk about the sale. Here's what our latest sale is this month.
Right.
Okay, you know, we could probably do that. I'm going to put a couple blogs in there, things like that, to break it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we send that one out. 2 weeks later, hey, we need to do another one because there's the new sale coming, and we really need to push that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of business owners, you know, even when they get that far down, they still think that they just need to push out sales all the time.
Yeah, and it doesn't work over time. Because if you're providing content that people see as irrelevant or too pitchy, they will begin to tune out. So your open rates will decrease. Your opt-out rates, people saying, take me off your list, will increase. And your spam complaint rates will increase. People will click that, hey, this is spam button that they have in their email software, even if they signed up and gave permission. Your emails are annoying them, they'll click the spam button. And then, as a result, you'll have even more trouble getting email through because some of the filters may think you're spamming because people are complaining about your emails. So keep it relevant and provide value.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened, too. You know, we started getting all these unsubscribes.
Yeah.
And, of course, then he's calling me. You know, this wasn't happening before. Well, you weren't sending anything before, so there's nothing to unsubscribe to.
Right. Yeah, so, I have a blog, Will, blog.marketvolt.com, and I forget how recently it was. It's probably today the third or fourth most recent blog post, and I know this will be archived, so people may have to go find it. But it talks about the headline on the blog post is something like, is your email too pitchy or something like that? And the point of the post is that in a survey of marketing people, B2B people, or not marketing people, but in a survey of businesses, the respondent said that marketing fails to sway them because they feel it's too pitchy. So the communications they receive come in and are too pitchy. Now, the key thing to remember is that you still can pitch. It's okay to pitch. You just have to be selective and discriminate about how you do it and when you do it.
Yeah, I went back to him and said, you know what, we got to switch this up. You know, we need to provide value, basically, as you said. And then, oh, by the way, we're having a sale. You know, and I think that approach is working much better, a lot less unsubscribes, things of that sort.
Yeah, and one of the ways to think about it is the emails that you're sending are always opportunities for you to prospect and identify your best folks. Because you're able to know who opens your emails and who clicks. So a great example that we use is the example of a music store, a bricks and mortar music store. And within that database, let's say 1,000 people who have signed up for the email list, you might only have 100 people who have any interest in classical music. A lot of rock and roll fans, a lot of blues fans, whatever, but only 100 people interested in classical music. So if for whatever reason you have classical CDs on sale and you begin to pitch that sale to 1,000 people, you're hitting 900 people who don't give a hoot about it. And a lot of those 900 people are going to tune out and be annoyed. So what can you do in a newsletter? You can have a little bit of everything for everybody. That's a core principle of a newsletter. If you're sending it to the whole list, hit everybody's interests. A little bit of everything for everybody. A little bit of rock and roll, little bit of jazz, little bit of classical. And the classical thing could have a link. Read about, you know, read the interview with the new conductor of the symphony orchestra. And then pay attention who's showing interest in your stuff about classical music. People who click are obviously interested in classical music, and over time you can begin to build segments in your in your database. And even immediately following that newsletter, you could say, if somebody clicks that link, I'm going to send them a coupon for my classical music sale. And you're hitting maybe only 15, 20, 30 people. But those 30 people are really going to be happy to get that coupon and are going to come into the store. And meanwhile, you're not annoying 900 people who clearly won't have any interest in that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's definitely interesting. So a music store is a great kind of B2C way of doing things. How about B2B, and does it work the same?
Sorry about the phone, by the way.
That's okay.
You know, we were talking before we started, and you were talking about in these meetups, you got to turn off all the noise and the background stuff.
It adds to the ambiance.
Yeah, I'm a working person, and the phone is ringing off the hook here at Market Vault. So
that's good. It's like the telethon with all the phones ringing in the background.
Yeah, it is so darn busy here. So you were asking about B2B. You know, it works in similar ways. And we were talking about the myth of email being dead. We hear all the time from B2B people, well, I'm not going to sell some $5,000 piece of equipment or some consulting engagement that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars on an email. And that's probably true. In many B2B businesses, sales are going to get done with face-to-face and direct consultation in the same way that sales were being made 10 or 20 years ago. But the path to the sale can be significantly different. Who do you call, or how do you get to a meeting? You might have, again, 1,000 people in your Rolodex, and the old-style sales hustle would be knock on every door on every floor, or call people over and over and over again, cold call until you break through and get yourself to 10 meetings. Well, with email marketing, we talk about the concept of separating prospects from suspects. You can send an email that has something about a particular product need. I'll take an example from a printing company with which we work. They do standard printing stuff, and the people in their database are all interested in the standard printing, but they also have a very specialized product that's expensive and very niche, and that's counterfeit proof printing that has a seal in it that, you know, it was for things that, you know, you have to verify that this is in fact the thing.
Right.
That company in its email newsletter included last January, in advance of the Super Bowl, an article about how around the Super Bowl, the idea of secure printing is really important because you have the mementos and the photos and the programs, and for collectors, you have to use secure printing technology to verify that this is the official program, not a counterfeit knockoff.
Right.
And so they shared that article, or they linked to an article, and what they recognized strategically is the people who are clicking through on that article are interested in the concept of secure counterfeit proof printing, and those are the people that our sales reps can call or email directly and say, hey, you know, I wondering whether you saw that article we had in our newsletter. You know, we offer a service like that, and I was wondering if you were interested. Well, they're going to get to a sales meeting or get through on the telephone much more quickly and much more effectively. That way, they'll get to their 10 meetings or their 20 meetings or their 30 meetings much more quickly by identifying prospects based on who's clicking on an email than if they just called 1,000 people in a course of a month or whatever it would take, or start knocking on doors randomly. It's a very efficient way to identify your prospects by sending valuable and interesting information and paying attention to who's showing interest, then following up.
Yeah, and we're going to have John Ayers on here in a couple of weeks about cold calling. And the great thing about the email is it's non-intrusive. So, it shows up when you're ready to open it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But even, you know, we've worked with John. John's a great teleprospector. And what we've done with campaigns with John, yeah, it's a cold call in many cases. But what we'll do, the primary call to action might be, I'm calling on behalf of so-and-so, and we'd like to set up a meeting. And people will say, not interested, but we'll have a secondary call of action. Would you like some free report? Could we get your email to send you something that you would value? And then they'll say yes at much higher rates than, sure, I'll take a meeting. So for every person who takes a meeting, you might have 30 people who give you their email address.
Yeah.
And then we track who clicks or who opens the email, and we invest in another phone call to those people, because now they said no at first, but they got my thing, and they'll pick up the phone, and you get additional action on the backside. Or it might not even be John doing the follow-up call. It might be the business person directly or the sales rep. So this idea of knowing who your prospects are, because you can track who's opening your email, and they've welcomed the email. Who opened the email, who clicked on the link, they're showing interest. They're more likely to answer the phone because they know you and have paid attention to your content, and they're more likely to take that next step, sales meeting, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's interesting how they say no, but then you see them opening the emails. And that's actually something I've heard you talk about before, is kind of marketing to the maybes. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you think about putting a marketing message in front of, again, 1,000 people, that small percentage of people who are ready buyers, who in sales, we talk about the person who has the need and the authority and the resources to make the purchase. And all three of those things have to be converging at the moment that you're putting a marketing message in front of a person, in order for that person to say, okay, I'm buying.
Right.
Then you may also have the opposite spectrum. Those are the yeses. You have the opposite spectrum. I have no need. I have no interest, I have no desire, I'm happy with whom I'm with, or I know you and I don't want your product. The flat-out no's, okay? You won't move them, they're not coming around.
Right.
But that whole spectrum in between is the maybes. And if in your marketing, whether it's a print piece or a teleprospecting script or a billboard or a television ad, if you provide some way for the maybes to raise their hand. It's not, yes, I'll buy. It's, sure, I'll give you my email address for a free report or for something of value, or I'll text 12345 to enter a contest and then reply with my email address when the text asks me to get an additional something. The maybes, if you can get them to raise their hand so that they'll give you your email address and you can then begin to engage them with ongoing valuable content, you'll convert more sales over time. It's as simple as that. The bigger your email list, the more sales you'll convert over time. It may not be tomorrow, but it will happen. And so thinking of your marketing communications, your advertising, and so forth, as an opportunity not just to jump to pleased to meet you, will you buy, but pleased to meet you, will you buy, and I thought I turned the phone off.
Somebody's looking outside your window saying, ah, he didn't turn it off, let's get him again.
Yeah, I'm taking the phone off the hook now. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that, folks.
That's okay.
What I was saying before is if you think of your marketing communications as not just pleased to meet you, will you buy, but pleased to meet you, can we begin a conversation, which is what you're really asking the maybes, you're going to have great success in your marketing communications.
Yeah, I think it's something huge that I've kind of started steering a lot of my clients towards. You know, with let's offer some sort of a free checklist. Let's offer top 7 tips or something like that, that they can give an email address, they can pull it down, and that there's no there's no, you know, sales pitch involved. It's purely just giving them a piece of value. And it's something that they can consume very quickly. It's not an ebook where they have to, you know, it's a 200-page ebook where they're just going to give up 3 pages in, you know. But that has it has made the entire list building process a lot simpler.
Yeah, we have one on our blog, on the sidebar of our blog website, 10 secrets to write subject lines that sell. And you enter your name, you enter your email address, and you get a 2-pager with 10 quick tips. And if you're into, if you're doing any email marketing, this is going to be valuable to you. And from our perspective, marketing our business, the person who is thinking about how can I make my emails more effective is the person we want to be talking with and we want to provide value to. So what follows that opt-in is a follow-up email telling them a little bit more about our company, telling them a little bit more about the value we'll provide if they stay on the mailing list. Here are more tips. Here's what you can expect. And over time, many of those who sign up for that free report ask for demos, sign up for the software, become customers.
Yeah, and this is all automated, right? They click on the link on the side of your blog, fill out their email address, and it automatically emails them. It does this automatically, right?
Yeah, and in fact, the way that we start to talk about the product, you know, this balance between pitching and value, is we say, hey, by the way, here's an email thanking you. You know, thank you very much for downloading the thing. We hope you find it valuable. We'll continue to send you some stuff. By the way, this email was sent to you automatically. Setting up automated marketing processes is a really important thing for you to do as a business. That's a tip.
Oh,
setting
nice.
Up automated marketing processes is a way to help grow your business. And here's how I did it. And the here's how I did it is beginning to describe our system, our software. So we're establishing that relationship. We're providing value. You just got some tips. But we work our way into pitching. So it goes back to that point I made before. It's not that you should never talk about your products and services and be afraid to pitch. You just have to do it in a context where it's going to be welcomed and where it makes sense and it's not overkill and irrelevant. So
Yeah. So another thing I've heard you talk about is separating the prospects from the suspects.
Yeah.
Can you explain that concept and how it applies to email marketing?
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit before, this idea of link tracking and in a B2B or B2C. The paying attention to the classical music fans who click the link. Those are my prospects, and the people who are never opening the email or never clicking, those are the suspects. And part of the idea is that you want to cull your list over time. You don't want to keep pounding emails to people who are showing no interest, and occasionally people will sign up and then just tune out over time. And so in marketing and sales in general, your goal is to have as many conversations with the true prospects who welcome your communications and minimize the amount of time that you're spinning your wheels with the suspects. Now, you can send emails to anybody and there's not a whole lot of additional cost by sending barely any additional cost if you press send and send it to everybody. But if you send everything to everybody every time without paying attention to separating the prospects from the suspects, what we talked about before, your open rates will go down, your spam complaints will go up, and you'll have less return.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you being on the show today. This has been terrific information.
I'm really, really happy to be here and to have spent some time with you. And it's a great program you have going, and I'm going to continue to tune in. Next time I'm on a hangout with you or anyone else, I'm going to unplug the phone before I start.
Yeah, I think I told you I was on. We did one before with Kathy Sexton, and her cat jumped up on the table. It went across the screen. That was fun.
Well, cats do that. You know, that's that's. You can't keep the cats off the keyboard, right?
Right, Right. So tell me how people can find out more about MarketVault.
Yeah. So first of all, I like communicating one-to-one with people. So if you have a direct question or want to reach out to me, you can reach me at tom@marketvault.com. And MarketVault is spelled market, M-A-R-K-E-T-V, as in voltage, O-L-T, marketvault.com, tom@marketvault.com. Our website that talks about our products and our services and has resources on it is marketvault.com. The blog that I mentioned, that's marketing tips of all sorts, not just email marketing, but all things, is blog.marketvault.com. And we have a new thing that I wanted to encourage people to check out, and that's called 5in25.com, the number 5in25, number 25.com, 5in25.com. The idea there, it's a webinar series, 5 powerful marketing tips, delivered in just 25 minutes. We typically do it middle of the day, so you can grab a bite to eat, sit at your computer, and in 25 minutes we cover all sorts of cool stuff, tips for B2B marketing, B2C marketing. So check out the site. We have a different slate of webinars at different times. If you hit 5 and 25, you'll see what we have. Always free, always 25 minutes.
And can people go back and see the previous ones that you guys have done?
We have things archived in different places and we're working on that. For now, the best way is to sign up for one. If you can't attend at the date that you see when you hit the link, sign up and you'll get a video. You'll get a link after the date that it runs with a video for an archive. Yep.
Which is what a lot of people do. They'll sign up for the webinar and know that the recording will come later.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you being on the show today. MarketVault is a wonderful system. I've got several clients who use it as well, and I really appreciate the tips on the segmenting and the marketing to the maybes. Those were terrific.
Thanks, Will. Thanks All right. very much.
Thanks, everyone, for watching the show today. My name's Will Hanke. Hopefully, we've helped you today navigate the rapids of business a little better.